So this word that I want to share with you is something that usually by the end of the year, I try and rest a little bit and ask the Lord, what is going to happen for the new year? And this is a word I received literally on the 28th of December last year. I have shared this word in our context, in our congregation. I felt it is something that it carries something for the bigger Josh Chin as well. And as freaking Stefan was asking and to come and minister here this morning, I immediately felt this was something. And you guys can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. I'm going to go to the beginning. Exodus chapter 3. And a lot of you have read this portion of Scripture before. A lot of you have heard the story before. A lot of you have told the story to your kids before. But I want to show you something from the life of Moses. And I want to show you this burning bush incident. There's some lessons for each one of us. And I felt this was something personal for me. So I usually say to people, when you make notes, there's a takeaway. There's always something that God speaks to you concerning His Word. So this morning, there's something for me that God spoke to me about, but I believe in my heart that this morning God will speak to you as well through His Word. So let's read, if we can. It says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning. And if you're making notes in your Bible and underline it, that part, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He met with the living God. I want to pick up on some things that we just read there. The first thing is that Moses saw a bush that was actually burning. So I must say, if you want to discredit anybody, just say, well, maybe it was something else that Moses saw. Maybe it was a fire of a Bedouin that he saw. Maybe it was a red kind of bush with the sun shining on it. And no, no, no. Moses saw a burning bush. That's what he saw. Now, apparently, and I went to read up on this, you can actually have a phenomena in the desert where a bush would spontaneously combust. So this wasn't a new thing for Moses. Oh, there's a bush burning. But he only stopped because this bush was not being consumed. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever seen that in the Word? For him, it was like, oh, there's another bush burning. Oh, wait. This one is, let me pause, let me stop, let me go towards it, because this is a different bush. And only then he heard the voice. So I think sometimes we think this bush called him. No, he was going about his way. What was he doing? He was working. He was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. Remember, he was for 40 years. He was in Egypt. This is his next 40 years. Why did he leave Egypt? Because he beat up on a guy and killed him. And he had to run away. And now he's 40 years working for his father-in-law, Jethro. And then we see there's another 40 years, the 40 years that they actually go into the desert. That's the life of Moses. So Moses actually saw a bush. And actually, there's interesting stories about bushes that's been burning and actually burned down somebody's house, and he had to prove it in Jonesboro in America. And he had to prove it. So if you want to go do a bit of research on burning bushes, it's kind of a phenomenon. It's kind of a thing that happens. So what about the fire that Moses witnessed? What about this fire? What caused him to take that second look? The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. It just perpetually burned. Apparently, he must have then witnessed this bushfire type thing before, like I said. So, I think, guys, and I said this a while back, I think special effects has desensitized us. You know, you see something burning, but if you actually have that raging fire, this burning, then you feel the heat. I think sometimes we think, oh yeah, it was this AI type of bush burning, and we all have an idea of what it looked like. But I think it desensitized us to real life. How scary must the burning bush in the desert be? If you actually would see that thing, I would run away. I would not go closer. I mean, I don't know how long he observed it, but he realized this bush is not consumed. You see, we all had an experience, you know, of fires before. We actually had it not so long ago. We had some felt fires. And you can feel, I mean, Mossel Bay has been plagued with fires not so long ago. And you could feel the heat. I mean, friends of ours, one of the guys in our church, he says his car light actually melted because of the heat of that fire that was coming towards them. You can feel the heat. I'm sure Moses experienced the heat of this fire. Things melt. I'm just reminded of Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Look at this, Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. I mean, this thing is raging fire. Because the king's orders were urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, this is a raging fire. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. And we know they weren't consumed. They saw a 4th person standing in the midst of this fire. They weren't consumed. So let's look at Moses, where Moses really finds himself. I already started off by saying in verse 1, when he encounters the angel of the Lord, Moses was taking care of business. Moses was actually just looking after his family's business. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, we see this. Stephen tells us what happened to Moses. Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. As an aside, one has to wonder if Moses thought he no longer, This is a more mundane type of work that he's doing. He's not the deliverer of Israel. He's not the one that just killed an Egyptian. He's not the one that came from, you know, the king's palace. I mean, you grow up as this, you know, this prince. And maybe Moses came from that palace to the pastures of the flock of his father-in-law. Maybe you think, maybe this morning you think God has forgotten you. 40 years is a long time for Moses. I mean, I lived the good life, if you think about it, in Egypt. But now I'm just obscure. I'm just this shepherd looking after sheep. And maybe God has just forgotten me. You see, you once served God. Maybe you're sitting here and you were part of ministry, but now you feel sidelined. Or maybe you're even feeling this is a very long delay. I want to say this to you. Are you experiencing a delay in what you thought God was going to do in your life or through you? Moses' experience teaches us an important spiritual principle that God's delay does not mean God's denial. I think often we think like, God, you've just denied me. You forgot about me, God. Just think about Joseph. No, just remember me. Just go and tell the king. And 2 years later, he still sits in jail. I think sometimes we think, God, you're denying me this, what you've called me to. There was once this call. That call of God is still active, my friends. This call is not fulfilled. We see it in Moses' life. His timing is always perfect, even though we don't understand his delays. Shepherding sheep in a hot, dry desert was not wasted time, for God was actually just training Moses to be a leader, to be a shepherd of some 2 million people who would, in many ways, would prove more difficult than dumb sheep. God was training him in that season for 40 years. But God, why? Why 40 years, God? I always say, many are your plans. Bible says that. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose for that man that will prevail. God's purpose will prevail. So after 40 years of shepherding furry sheep in the wilderness, Moses would soon spend 40 more years shepherding fickle sheep in the same wilderness. He kind of at least knew the wilderness. And there's this beautiful verse in Hosea that I love. It's one of my favorite verses. It says this, that God lures. He's actually speaking to Israel. And he says this. He says, God lures us into the wilderness to speak tender mercies to us. Even if it takes you for 40 years into the wilderness, God speaks tender mercies to you. Man, I just want that. I don't care. You know, Jesus says this. He says that the slave is always where the master is. I just want to be, even if I'm in the midst of the storm, I just want to be where Jesus is. Moses, later on, he says, God, I do not want to move until you tell me to move, until your presence goes with me. I don't want to go. And here's the beautiful thing. It says this. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb. And as you saw that in the scripture, it says, the mountain of God. That's where you want to be. You want to be where God is. Once again, we see the providence of God interacting with the will of man. It's just beautiful. Moses moves west to an area where he will meet God. God, by his providence, is guiding him, is leading him. We just need to allow him to lead you. I don't know if you listen to our podcast, the Dying to Live podcast, but we've just done a month or so ago, we did one on, and Uncle Jeff did that with Mike Durfee. Can you know the will of God? And Mike Durfee said something. I was in that meeting, and he said something interesting. I think so often we look at the will of God as a tightrope. Like, I've got to walk this tightrope of the will of God. I dare not fall off it. But may I present this to you, that the will of God is maybe more like a garden. Where he says there's opportunities. We think, God, I don't know if I can stay in your will. Yes, you can. Because God brings us into a wide open space. The Bible calls us, and I just feel this prophetically, that God lets us out like a calf let from the stall, the Bible says. Maybe you feel cooped up this morning. Just let him, like you open up for a calf. And let him run. You all just imagine that, hey? You did. I know, it's kind of scary. I am graceful on my feet, I know. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Anyway, this is church. Let's focus. He meets God at Mount Horeb. Another name for Mount Sinai. We just saw that in Acts. That's what Stephen called it. And who does he meet? Who does he meet? Well, the Bible says that he meets the angel, and that's the Hebrew word malak, is one who bears a message, a notice, a word of communication, written or verbal, sent from one person to another. He met someone telling him something. This angel means the angel of the Lord. It's not a created angel. But we can actually see from Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, it is God himself. And most writers consider this to be what we call in theology a Christophany. We call it that because it's a pre-incarnate Christ manifestation in the Old Testament. We see Jesus. Jesus reveals himself already. And to Moses, he is the one that is speaking to him, the one that will come. You know the beauty of this, eh? Think about Moses. Just think about Moses. I think he messed up. Well, he did. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. God says to him, you will not enter into the promised land. But who stands on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus is transfigured? There's two people next to him, Moses and Elijah. Those are the two. God loves Moses. God loves Moses. God has got a plan with Moses' life. He might not have seen the promised land, but he saw Jesus. Man, that's all I want to do. I just want to behold him. He meets the Messiah. The Word became a man, one who himself created all the angels. Friends, fire is always a symbol of God's presence. Bible tells us God is a consuming fire. We sing dangerous songs in the church. Fire, fall on me. Good Lord, do you even know what you're asking for? A.W. Tozer said, Christians don't lie. They just come to church and sing it. Think about that. If we believe it, are we ready for Him to consume us? Fire, fall on me. Next time you sing that song, some of you are going to lie under these chairs. Prostrate before Him. That's why Moses hides his face. He's like, God, I cannot look upon you. Yeah. Number two, if you're keeping score here, I don't even know if there's a number two. But you never know what a day may bring. Moses didn't know what this day would bring. He didn't. He was just about his business. But you need to keep your eyes and ears open to the leading of the Lord. This is a lesson I learned from Moses. Stephen, keep your eyes open because anything can happen in this day. Anything. You can meet with the living God. See, childlike curiosity completely changed Moses' life. It's like, what is this thing? Why is this bush not being consumed? You see, God calls busy people to serve Him. He's calling you and me. In the busyness of our lives, in the everyday, that messy Monday, and terrifying Tuesday, and wacky Wednesday, and I don't know what the others are. Throwback Thursday, and yes, thank you, Lord, it's Friday. Yay! And He reveals Himself to them. Let us not miss God moments in this year. Let us not miss moments with God, but you have to do something. You have to stop. You have to stop, and the Bible says He turned aside. We're so quick to just walk this walk of life. And we forget that when we see Him, and there's moments where He reveals Himself to us, that we miss those moments. You see, we're saying, yeah, but productivity. That's what we need. Productivity for Him is great. We all want to do stuff for Jesus. But let me tell you, He rather wants us to be with Him. We're sometimes so caught up with the things of God that we forget the God of the things. We are so busy. Intimacy with God rather than productivity for God. Productivity will flow, but from intimacy. You will do stuff for Jesus, but flowing from a place of intimacy. We sometimes do things for God without Him. We become professionals. One of my dear friends, he leads Stellenbosch AM congregation, Carl, we all call him Kala. Kala said something very interesting at the beginning of this year. He said, we all know, and he was speaking to elders. He says, we all know the area in the tabernacle where you get the table of showbread and you get the altar of incense and you get the candlesticks. We know how to minister between the Word and the Spirit and worship. And we know that area well. But we forget to stick our head into the most holy of holies, where His presence is. We forget to look upon Him. It's from that place that we actually serve in that place. Do we get that? So maybe this week, slow down. Slow down. And behold Him. God moments. Wait for those as well. Have intimacy first. Then do stuff. Then you do good works. He prepared for us, like Ephesians chapter 2:10 tells us. You do it from that place of intimacy first. Hear me. I'm not saying productivity is wrong. I'm not saying that, guys. He created us for good works so that we may walk in it. God has created us for that. But I'm saying from a place of intimacy. So I already mentioned to you, Moses turned aside. Moses moved away from self-reliance. Moses moved away from his ideas. The Bible tells us, do not lean on your own understanding in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But God, I have a plan. I have a 5-year plan, a 2-year plan. I have a 10-year plan. I have a retirement plan. I have a plan. I met somebody last week. They're 74 and they went to Stillby to retire. But God had a different plan with them. Now He's refiring them, not retiring them. And they're becoming deacons in the life of the church, most probably there on that side. They went to retire. This is it. This is I'm living in this golden time, you know. No, Caleb. I never said that. Caleb says, no. I might be 80 or 90 or whatever, but give me another hill country. I'm not done. I guess dog out, makisi coat. I'm not dead yet. Sometimes we need to change direction to go towards God and what He's doing instead of following our little ways. Moses left where he was and went to where God was moving. Perhaps I need to do the same. Perhaps I need to just stop what I do and actually turn aside. Too many Christians who quickly or quietly want more of God think they can keep doing what they've been doing and God will demand their attention. No, you've got to stop. God's not going to demand your attention if He really needs it. You're the one that needs to stop. What brought us thus far, my friends, I often say, is not going to take us further. We've done it this way. And that's why Jesus has to actually address the Pharisees. He says, your traditions is nullifying the power of God. But we've always done it this way. Even this morning, well, we always worship first. God's got a different plan. We didn't. We thought of it. And when He said, I was taken back. He says, we're going into the Word. I actually wanted to bump my wife and say, did He say Word or worship? So I just quietly took my laptop out. I was like, okay, be ready. In season, out of season. But if you're looking for identity and for purpose, for an assignment and a calling, you may need to turn aside and go find some holy ground on which you need to listen. Yeah, but I've got a plan, God. No. Moses, keep quiet. You're on holy ground now, my friend. We need to listen to God's voice and see His majesty and His splendor. I want to say this, friends. Please note, the adjustment may be and might be inconvenient. He says to him, take off your shoes. He says to him, you are coming into a very different place now, which means you're going to walk differently once you leave here. You're going to actually, once you've been here, you're going to walk in a holy way. All I am and all I have needs to be submitted to a holy God. You see, you are set apart. Holiness, the word holy means to be set apart for Him. He says, this is holy ground. So, but here's the beauty of this. And as I was hearing from the Lord, this was probably the most beautiful part that the Lord said to me. Do you know why I asked him to take his shoes off? Do you know? Apart from the fact that it's holy ground. In Jewish culture, if you went in to somebody's house, you take your shoes off. Jesus was saying to him, Moses, you're home. You're home. This is where you belong. This is my presence. Moses, there's no other place you need to be but here. Take off your shoes. Relax. You're home. We forget that. We just think sometimes God is this Gandalfian God with a long beard and a very long stick, and he's just about to whack you, you know, every time that you're in his presence, and he's always just there to correct you. No, he's there to love you. That's why Jesus taught us this. He says, our Father, you're in the presence of the Father. Oh man, we need humility. We need vulnerability in God's presence. We need to have respect and reverence. And then lastly, I'm ending with this, is we see Moses' response to God's calling. God began to speak. Moses is quiet. After he got Moses' attention of this bush that is not consumed, he says, he starts speaking to him. David Guzik adds this. He says this, God didn't speak to Moses until he had Moses' attention. God is patient. So give him your attention. In this week, turn aside from what you're doing and give him your attention. Every morning when you wake up, one of my friends, he says to me, life is tough and it's weird and it's busy and there's a third baby on the way and I'm working hard and everything. I said to him, roughly what time do you get up in the morning? He goes, oh, I try and get up at 6 and then I stumble out of my room and then it's a baby that needs to be fed and it's this. I said to him, try and get up at 5:30. Get up. Go make a cup of coffee before anything. Tea, whatever you fancy. Walk out your back door. He's got this beautiful view over the harbor in Mossel Bay. I said, just walk onto your balcony and just stand there and say, good morning, Lord. Don't go, oh, good Lord, it's morning. No. That's not what you want. Because a lot of us, we feel like that, hey. Sometimes we need to be a little bit more, you know, truthful. Good Lord, it's morning again. It's like another week. Just get out there and behold His beauty. No man has got an excuse, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. No man. We just need to look outside. Guys, you live in a beautiful part of this country. Just walk outside your door and just greet him. He was awake the whole night and he could not wait. He could not wait for you to wake up. He's like, yes, he's going to wake up now. And then we're like, like a caveman. You should see my beard in the morning. And he is the one that neither sleeps nor slumbers. He waits for you to wake up. Oh, it's beautiful, eh? Last thing I want to notice. Moses was not an unknown shepherd in an obscure place, but God had... let me say it again. Moses was now an unknown shepherd in an obscure place, but God had not forgotten who he was. And God knows you, and he knows your name, and he wants to have a relationship with him. And what will our response be? Moses' response in that last verse is, "Here I am." That's all. Here I am. Good morning, Lord. Here I am. A new day with new challenges, new things. God, here I am. New opportunities. Friends, is this your answer to his call today? Here I am. Are you available to be used by the Lord today? And I pray, let it be so. Jesus, for all who hear this sermon this morning, that we all might be totally, wholly yours. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, in Afrikaans it says, koop die tyd uit. Redeem the time. What do you swap your time for, guys? That cell phone? TikTok? Little videos? Continually, we need to be led by the Spirit for your good pleasure. And God, for your great glory, letting our lights shine. That is why we exist. In the mornings when I pray with my kids, that we pray this. We say, God, may we be salt and light to everybody around us in this day. How are you living up to the potential of your calling as a holy one? The only way is by learning to rely on the Holy Spirit, to obey his command to be holy as I am holy. 1 Peter 1, my last verse, verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are the holy ones. Let's close our eyes.